Hi, this is Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And the good thing about being new is that we will only get better.
Hey, Scott O. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash on my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1 1/4-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1 1/4-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
Thank you. starts to get even weirder, especially after night. Starting Sunday, mostly top, right after hers, darkness on the edge of town. Mondays, I'll take existence for you. And Tuesday nights, night watch. Make sure you turn in on Mystic Games Radio at night to get your paranormal fix. This must be where pies go when they die.
And as promised, this is more ghostly talk. And, of course, we've got Lisa Lindley on the phone. Her website is www.ourhaunting.freeservers.com. And then there's another one, www.neveralone.freehosting.net. And so, Lisa, thanks for hanging out through the break. And we were talking about your haunting, which is a pretty extreme case. Attached to your family, because it's been over two houses, and how at first it's pretty cool, you know, wow, this is happening to us, you know, and then it just it takes on a sinister, nasty, evil, I think you've even said, tone, and it won't it wouldn't leave your oldest daughter alone.
No, and, it was targeting her actually at the first house.
There's theories, you know, the hormones in a teenager, or you know, in a young girl, that kind of thing for the poltergeists. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's theories about that. Is there anything different about your family or about your daughter? Is she like gifted in other ways? Why would anybody any entity in their right mind pick you guys?
You know, that's a good question, and we've often asked ourselves that. The best way I can describe us being normal people, my daughter and I think maybe it's a hereditary thing. I know that sounds kind of strange, but we have a heightened sense of awareness. I guess it's not a special gift. I think my daughter calls it a curse, more or less. She can just be minding her own business, and something will happen, and she'll just see these things everywhere sometimes, especially, you know, within the last year. At other places besides the house. I mean, it's followed her to school. We've, you know, had various things happen with that. But, you know, at the first house, though, you know, we had a normal life before 2003. We bought this farmhouse. Like I said, we were, like, really drawn there. The house, we knew some history of it, and that was a big question. You know, we had this, it was a bargain basement price house. It needed a ton of work. It was on 5 acres. We thought, oh, this is cool. We'll fix it up. When we went to look through the house, I noticed in the upstairs bedroom, which was going to be her bedroom, this boy that had lived there, it was a teenage boy, was about 14 years old at the time. He was practicing some sort of witchcraft or Satanism in the home, and the only reason I know this for a fact is that there was a pentagram that was drawn somewhere in her room. I can't remember if it was like on the windowsill, the wall, or what it was, and I looked at it and I thought, okay, that looks a little weird, but I'll just paint over that, you know? And there were some evil-looking posters up on the ceiling that had this, like, panther dog thing with its ear half chewed off and its eyes bulging out of its head. And
I think that's one of Scott's favorite albums.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just
kidding. You know, the weird thing was I kept feeling like something wasn't right. Well, we found out that the former owner, she was like 40 years old, his mom, had committed suicide in the house like 6 months before we actually moved in. She'd shot herself in our master bedroom.
Oh.
And I was very curious, and so I did a lot of research, and I said to my husband, I said, can we buy this house knowing this happened there? And we kind of went back and forth about it and thought, oh, we'll just get past that and move in anyway. But I asked the realtor, she didn't even disclose that at that point, and I said, I have to ask you a really strange question. And she looked at me kind of like, oh, my gosh, what's going on here? And I said, you know, did somebody die here? I mean, this house is, like, reeking of death. And that's when she looked at me like, how would you know that? Well, they had it in the disclosure. Seller died in or on premises, perhaps by his or her own hand. And I didn't really know what that meant at that point in time until my husband and I took the contract home just to look it over, to reconsider this thing. And that whole thing came up. And then, you know, like I said, we went ahead and bought it and then didn't move in right away. But after we did, that's when the little girl was coming out of the closet at night. And shortly thereafter, when we were still up in all this paranormal stuff, not knowing about demonic stuff at this point or anything, we hired, I guess, thank God we didn't pay him any money because it went really bad, a paranormal investigative team to come out. And whatever happened in our house that night, the kids were not there. I had them spend the night at a girlfriend's house because I knew something terrible was going to happen. I just knew it. And whatever had happened, and they got on film that night, I think, honestly, it scared the you-know-what out of them, and they dropped our case, like, probably, I don't know, about a month later, the guy cut all contact off with us. He's like, you just need to get a priest out there and move. And whatever it was that didn't want to be seen on that tape, I mean, it shut the cameras off itself, and they had set all this stuff up, and things just went berserk that night. And my husband and I knew at that point we were dealing with something, but just thought it was, you know, the average little ghostly thing. We found out we had unmarked cemeteries on the property we didn't know about. It was just, you know, very old property dating back to, like, I guess, like the 1800s. And so we didn't move because of the haunting. I had to make that totally clear because, you know, everybody thought, oh, were you running from this? No, we weren't. We just needed a bigger place. And my husband found this one, and I begged him. I said, please make sure it wasn't an old funeral home, because this house looks like one of those kind of houses in a small town that, you know, they would use for that. That's had occurred, you know. And it was a pretty much a clean slate. I mean, we walked into this hoping that everything would be fine. And so that's kind of how this whole thing started, to attach itself to this. But I don't know what happened. I don't know if this kid, like, summoned something up and it just went, I'm going to, you know, attached to these people or what, when we left. I don't know if it, you know, followed us in the car. But, you know, when we got here, this was not the same type of situation. I mean, it got evil. It got bad. I don't know how to put it any more bluntly than what happened to us. It was something that I think the human mind can't wrap itself around, if that makes any sense at all. I couldn't make sense of it. I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown when we actually left our house. I could not understand this. I had done what you guys did, you know, all the research, thought I knew everything about everything, and this just blew my mind to pieces. And my husband, he was like a non-believer. Like, my daughter would come to me, Mom, this happened. My husband didn't totally believe in it because I was telling you guys on break that, you know, he worked for Lump Haunted Caverns in St. Louis, like the Lump Mansion. Most people know that that's a extremely haunted place in America. And my husband said, nothing has ever happened to me, you know. He kind of believed it. But then when he started seeing how our kids were being affected and how I was being affected, that's when Dad kicked in the mode and said, something's happening here. And when, you know, we were able to go to him and say, look, you know, I think that was the most comforting thing for me, because I finally had my support system that I needed for this. Because people think you're losing your mind. They don't believe you, or they think, yeah, right, whatever, demons, yeah, whatever. I mean, until you experience it firsthand, it's really hard to explain and have people understand the impact that this has on your life. I mean, you have to develop a new way of life. And like I said, a coping mechanism, whatever that is, you know, you got to find what works for you and keep your head on. You know, it's very hard when you're emotionally just drained from this kind of thing.
What's interesting is tonight, I one of the first things that you said, Lisa, was not so much, you know that you're going to have to go through things because of this interview, because you're talking about it and you're there on your, you know, the property where things have happened. And what, so you're going to go through this, and you're going to go through this because it might help people. So
right.
let's take some time, because we've got 11 minutes left, which is more than enough time. I want to try and help people when somebody is going through these kinds of things, because the thing is, it can pick this kind of stuff can happen to anybody. I mean, we've talked with Carmen Reed. Mm-hmm. We've talked with the folks from Missouri, the Paranormal Task Force. We've talked with all kinds of different people who have had extreme hunting. We've even talked to George Lutz of Amityville Horror, which is probably, you know, because of the two movies and the book.
Right.
And it's just so incredibly famous.
Stephen LaChance, I call him my buddy, my friend Stephen, because if most people know his case is called The Screaming House. Like, they've had it on the A&E and all these shows and things like that. And when we were going through my daughter's tormenting ordeal it was the whole family, but it was targeting her. I mean, this stuff was wanting her to hurt herself. I mean, and I called Stephen, and I said, look, and, you know, he told me that the night before I actually called him, I mean, he hadn't had paranormal activity at wherever he's staying at now. I mean, things were pretty calm. And he said, like, all hell was breaking loose at his house, you know, just even before. And he said that night he'd actually fallen asleep with the phone in his hand. And this was about 11 o'clock at night. We were having these things happen. And I wanted to call him so much and just say, what do I do? And the next day when I called him, you know, he's like, you'll never believe what happened to me the night before. And it was just like, he was the only person that could totally relate, because he actually fled his house. He knew how real this was, what his kids were going through. I mean, it might have been far worse than what we have had in some ways. But he said, you need to get out of there. I mean, we were warned by several people that this was getting out of hand for our safety and our family's safety. We needed to leave. I mean, you know, in your mind, you know, you're trying to rationalize this and say, you know this is happening, but this is ridiculous. We're going to stand our ground. But, you know, when you can't fight these things off and you see what it's doing to your kids, that's why I said, I'm packing it up. I told my husband, I said, I'm not staying here tonight. These things were, like, verbally threatening my daughter that, you know, if we didn't leave, our family was going to pay the price. And, you know, what's the really convincingly weird thing about this whole thing was that we didn't have much knowledge about the Bible at all. I mean, and there's a lot of truth in that book. I don't care if people say it's just a storybook or not. In this chapter of Matthew, I think it's in the 13th chapter somewhere in there, I wrote about it, but it talks about, you know, if one wicked spirit cannot find rest, it will bring seven in its place more wicked than itself, and all this kind of thing. And when we came home the night that we did, that we actually, you know, fled the house, like 48 hours later, I mean, my daughter saw seven demons standing on her staircase, and she's like, Mom, don't you see them? And I'm like, no, but I could feel something was there. And, I mean, your kid, you know, is not having a nervous breakdown, and they're telling you these things. And later I find out, you know, about the seven, it's in the Bible. And I was like, she would have had no way, because we weren't grounded in faith at that point. You know, my kids had not watched scary movies. All this stuff was making a little too much sense about what we were dealing with. I mean, these things were telling her to cut herself. They were screaming at her for 2 days that we needed to leave. Our family was going to pay the price and die. I mean, this stuff just came out of the middle of nowhere. It just hit us like a brick. We were minding our own business, and then bang, August 11th. I don't know what happened. So it was just some very evil, unexplained encounter, and I said, there's no way. I'm not staying here. So like I said, we got a crash course on how is the Lindley family going to fight back against this if we're going to go home. And I was scared to death. I mean, I did not want to go home. And my husband's the one that was very brave about this and said, look, we can do this. We're going to fight this. And I'm telling you, I went back into the house one time while we were gone. He said, stay away. You know, you're not strong enough with dealing with this. And I actually went into the house. It was the middle of the day. It was the toughest thing I ever had to do, trying to have faith that I wasn't sure I could deal with this. You know, I was not grounded. And, I'm a pretty, I guess, sparky, fiery person, but I was scared to death. I have to be honest and say I didn't know if I was going to make it through this. But I did, and my kids are still here, you know. And why it happened, I just don't know, unless, you know, God had a bigger plan for our family, and we needed to have this experience, like I said, to help somebody else, or to get a big wake-up call for something in our life that maybe we weren't taking care of. You know, I don't know. So it's been quite an experience.
So it sounds like the best thing that you've found, and believe me, I think it's a phenomenal thing, is to really figure out who you are and who you are in the eyes of your religious or spiritual beliefs and where it all fits in. And once you develop that, then while it doesn't banish these things,
right,
it at least allows you to cope.
Yeah, because do you know what is, I guess, so simple to understand now that I can see the big picture is that, you know, what is, people believe in angels, right? And they don't believe in demons, or they don't believe in one or the other, you know? And the thing is, that's so simple. I guess I've done some study on this kind of thing now, and it's like, you know, demons basically are fallen angels. You know, God kicked them out of the heavens in the first place because they turned against him. So these things hate mankind. They go after people like us, I guess, that are family members, thinking they're going to suck them into whatever it is that their plan is to destroy people. And prayer, honestly, I mean, it is the only thing, you know, we will gather as a family. If we're having an attack, like an actual attack, we've had things happen in the house, we will pray. Our family will get in a circle, and it sounds kind of goofy to some people that don't believe in this, but that is the only thing. We just say, hey, look, God, you know, we talked to him like I'm talking to you, and I said, look, we are scared. We know you can take care of this, and we're asking this in your name to please take care of this. And you know what? Every time when you are sincere and you just say, look, I am scared, you don't have to have eloquent words to pray about something. You just say what's on your mind and in your heart. But it does get old sometimes, and these things will wear you down. I mean, they will wear you down to the point that sometimes you think there is no hope and there is no help. And I can see why people would commit suicide, like maybe the owner of our other house. Maybe, you know, she couldn't take it anymore, what was happening to her. And they say, I've talked to someone about this who is a demonologist, and they said their ultimate goal on the satanic or evil, demonic, whatever you want to call it, is for someone to kill themselves. It's like their way of winning. That you go through stages of like depression, oppression. You know, there's just all these like five stages. And our family's, you know, not been to that point where we wanted to totally just be over and done with it. But, you know, we never have a solid night's sleep. There's always something that seems to be causing chaos. So it's like a learning experience every day. You have to find out, like I said, what works for people. But I can testify, I mean, honestly, superficial things don't work, not in a case like ours. And I don't know how people, even with the Lutz family, you know, with the whole Amityville, there's a lot of truth about what happened, and maybe the media's twisted some of that. But I honestly, if the family went through something worse than this, I mean, I don't know how they could have stayed in that house. I mean, I have no idea, because I totally know what evil is all about. And especially, you know, when you don't invite it in, it's like, what does it want with people that are not doing this? You know, it's kind of the question of the hour. So if you have any thoughts on that, please share with me, you know.
Well, I don't know if I have an answer for that, but I do have a personal story that could some of the dangers and some of the things that that we've brought out in this past hour. I went ghost hunting a couple of years ago to a little haunted bed and breakfast. It was cute. It was in North Carolina. I loved it. It was fantastic. And I had the pleasure of ghost hunting, actually, with John Zaffis, who is a demonologist himself.
Right.
And he, now he's been doing this for years. I mean, since he was old enough, since he was 18 or 19, he has been doing demonology, and he's now retired. So it's been a number of years. And he, of course, his uncle was Ed Warren, so...
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I think that's who it was.
Right. So he has, so he's had, you know... Though he, you know, while John didn't have the experiences of his uncle, he had, you know, he benefited from the knowledge that his uncle had collected over, you know, literally decades. So John Zaffis is a very, very knowledgeable person, also a devout Catholic. And so what happens is we're ghost hunting. And it was a cute little weekend. It wasn't anything that we were going to deal with demons or, you know, I mean, it was just going to be a fun little escape. And it was absolutely an incredible weekend, except for one thing. There was an issue where one of the owners of the home was going through some medical issues and was in intensive care, and it was touch and go. It really was touch and go. And there was a psychic lady there, and she was relatively inexperienced and not very good. She's probably a really good psychic, I guess, but not good at following direction. So what happened was she was seeing these things, these flitty things, just flitting back and forth and back and forth, and they're dark and they're evil and they're bad. And we were... I, of course, was saying, we don't want to know about them. Send them away, and let's talk about the fire that happened here, you know, and things like that. And I've got all this on video. And she wouldn't listen to me. And then, of course, the other people in the house were asking her about these black, evil, flitty things that were flitting back and forth and back and forth. Well, fortunately for us, John Zaffis was there, and he knew. He put all this stuff together, and he was able to walk up to the psychic lady and say, may I stand behind you? And she says, yes. And then she's describing all these things flitting back and forth. And something he did, which was simply to pray, silently.
How could somebody else believe me on that? Then that's great.
Right, silently. He prayed silently. We didn't hear this. But all of a sudden, the psychic lady goes, everything is gray. They're gone. Everything is gone. I don't get anything. There's nothing. Everything is gone. It's all gray. I have this on video. And what he did was he prayed. He prayed to God, because that's, you know, his religion. He prayed to God, and he asked God, please do what is right for this group here in this house right now. Do what is right. And evidently what was right was to just shut all that supernatural stuff down. And so he said, don't review any evidence, put it all away, and let's just visit and have a good time the rest of the night. And that's what we did. And it turns out he had recognized this as being death banshees, and it was part of the owner of the home's what he was going through medically. Now, the owner did not die. He didn't die, but this was part of what you go through, evidently, at least according to ancient Celtic religion. So he's, I was very fortunate to have that experience, because it demonstrates that even I, after decades of study, but only about 8 years of actual experience, didn't know what to do in a situation.
Well, and, you know, people ask us, they'll say, you know, I had people ask me this a lot, well, why would you go back after all this? And I said, you know what, we're relying on our faith to get us through this, and it is the only thing that has worked for us. But, you know, even when the paranormal team came out, I just don't think they had our best interests at heart. You know, when things were going bad, they were trying to do things to sum it up, you know, the previous owner and this and that. And I thought, these people were not, you know, what we needed, and we know what we have going on. That's why I haven't really relied on, you know, anything but trusting in myself and in God and knowing what works for our family, because it's like, why mess with a good thing that's working for us? You know, just keep doing what we're doing. And the thing is, you know, what's real interesting, okay, when we left the house and actually, I mean, I'm saying fled, we packed it up and left, you know, we're gone, you know. And my husband was raised Catholic, and what do? He went to a Catholic priest, because I've never really seen a lot of these scary movies, you know, like The Exorcist or this and that, but for what I do know, they went to a Catholic priest thinking, okay, well, the Catholic priest thought we needed a psychologist. You know, he didn't say, hey, can we pray with you? Can we offer to do something for your family? We were turned away, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I cannot even believe this. And then, you know, another church we went to, they offered to pray for us and help us. What can we do to help you? Right up the street from our house. But I don't think it's about religion, you know, per se. It's just about your personal relationship and how what you believe in. Like you said, you know, what you believe in that works. And I'm not trying to promote any particular church or this or that, but, you know, you can't dismiss that prayer doesn't work since you've seen it happen to you. And but, you know, hey, if somebody thinks something else works for them, then that's great. I don't want to make anybody mad, but I have to be honest and real and say, like, this is what we're doing, and we're still here. I mean, we're still here in the house, and so, you know, something's working, right? I mean, if we're making it, and not that it's easy all the time, and not that I don't have nights that I cry and wish it was over and gone, but you can't feel sorry for yourself. You have to just, you know, deal with it. But, you know, the thing, too, is the more that happens to us on a serious level, it's really strange, the less you want to talk about it, because people don't understand. They don't get it. You're very picky about who you share your information with. But it's been quite a learning experience, an eye-opening thing. But I hope someday we are going to have peace and not be worried about this stuff at all, and just, you know, enjoy life for a change and just live a normal life, whatever that is, right?
and I wish that from the bottom of my heart for you. Of course, we are at the we're past the bottom of the hour, because
I told you I could talk forever.
Okay. Lisa, you really do. You have me on the edge of my seat. You are fascinating, and I do. I wish you all the best. And anybody out there who's into this stuff, and whether you do or not, do a thing of protection before you go into an investigation. I want you to picture not only yourself, but also the Lindley family right now, in enveloped in a white light, and maybe that will help buffer a little bit of the consequences of doing this interview. Lisa, hang on the phone, and thank you for just a moment, and thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me. And if anybody seriously was listening and has a question, like they're going through something, if this isn't to, you know, promote my website, but even if they want to get in touch with you guys, or my email address is on the website, if they want to, you know, send us a question or something, if we can help, I mean, honestly, that's what it's all about. I mean, we have so much experience that may help somebody else, you know, if they need something.
What's your email address, Lisa?
Okay, it's L Lindley, like Lisa Lindley, L-L-I-N as in Nancy, D as in David, L-E-Y, 2, like the number 2, at Juno, JUNO.com. And I usually check my email like a couple times a day for different things, so I can try to respond as quick as I can, you know.
L Lindley and then the number 2 at Juno.com. Mm-hmm. Of course, the websites, are www.ourhaunting, that's O-U-R haunting, .freeservers.com, and www.neveralone.freehosting.net. And of course, we'll have that permanently linked up at ghostlytalk.com. Lisa, hang on the line. Thank you so much. I'm going to send everybody into a break right now. And I'm going to do it rather quickly because we did go a little bit beyond. But I have to say thanks, Lisa. Just absolutely amazing. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
Would you like to listen to Ghostly Talk live on your cell phone? Perhaps you have a comment for us or our guests. All you have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, dial 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasure,
new
planetary mind control,
military
cover-up,
corporate shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasure, planetary mind control, military
cover-up,
corporate interests,
presidential
assassination, presidential
assassination,
pyramid, cryptozoology,
Out there. It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
What are we made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced whole life? These are just a few of the questions explored each week by naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant, Dr. Rita Louise on Just Energy Radio. Explore your possibilities every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us at JustEnergyRadio.com.
We got a wild one tonight. The band just blasted out my song. That girl just looked at me and smiled. I can't go wrong. Then Crazy Joe rushes the stage. He hoists a beer up to the band. My brother's quarter in the game. Pinball cracks. Back then it always seemed to be those Friday nights to try to bury what was wrong and what felt right. And I gotta laugh at just how low we set our sights sometimes. But that's life. No, David's drinking a St. Paul's. He's got the Greek right by his side. It's Halloween and autumn's falling before my eyes. And me, I'm feeling kind of grateful to be surrounded by good friends. That girl just left me at the table, alone again. Back then it always seemed to be those Friday nights to try try to bury what was wrong and what felt right. And I gotta laugh at just how low it set our sights on time. But that's life, Indiana night. And now what's left of me is singing this song. Well, I think it breaks me, but I'm carrying on. No, still got my spirit, still got my heart. Those memories keeping me alive through the dark. We got a wild one tonight. Know all those times have come and gone. I found my love, I found my life. I can't go wrong. Back then there always seemed to be those Friday nights to try to bury what was wrong and what felt right. And I gotta laugh at just how low we set our sights on time. But that's life, Indiana nights. That's life. That's life. That's life.
I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal, ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
I am not used to taking direction from people who are sitting on the beach in Florida.
Oh, yeah, right now, actually, guys, I'm looking out, and it's started, the sun is already set. We actually, Amber, you got some pictures of the sun setting, right? Amber shot some pictures, and, yeah, the sun's going down. It's starting to get dark here now in the Gulf. Right, Ty, the Gulf.
Shut up.
We're in the Gulf.
Must be torture.
Yeah, so it's been pretty cool so far. Like I said again, sorry to the listeners about losing the first half an hour, but we blew the board up. That was pretty much beyond all of our control in the situation. But this is the first time I've ever really been out of state. I mean, in the 6 years we've been doing this show, I can probably count maybe once or twice that I've not been in studio to do the show.
I know. Usually it's me because, as a matter of fact, you and I had a talk about it, right? Two or three years ago. I said, I want to go traveling sometimes, and so sometimes I have to do remote. And you were very, very gracious about it and said, you know what? That's part of it. You know, that's going to be part of it because this is part of our lives, but our lives don't have to stop,
We can't. We've locked ourselves into the Sunday from 6 to 9 time slot, and that's the way it's going to be until we decide, differently. It was very nice of you guys to let me, to give me the time to come down here and refresh the batteries, I guess. And I'm doing that as we speak, even doing the show. But I also wanted to make sure that I still could do the show, and that's why I'm doing what, you know, I did the Skype thing, that, you know, did a lot of work to make this thing happen, and it's coming off really good now, I think. I'm really happy how it's going, and, you know, despite the little problems we've had, it happens, you know, big deal. You know, we're an independent show. We don't have a studio. We built our own studio for this show.
Do you know what, though? Had we not had a backup board, the travel board? I call this the travel board.
This is our travel board. It's the board we bring on the road with us.
Yeah, had we not had this, we'd have been showless this week.
Yeah, we, you know, and I'm very happy we had these backups. And, you know, I got to go back and thank Kevin from back in the day for giving us that new board and stuff like that.
Do you know what's really, really weird? I just sent an email earlier today and mentioned Kevin Cogbill.
Yeah, Kevin Cogbill, an old friend of ours. He was the guy that came to us. You know, the story was really funny about that. I don't know if we'd rather... Well, we'll have to omit some things on that, but basically Kevin had an extra board that matched our present board.
Right, it was the one version, not upgrade, but
yeah,
newer
version.
One version newer than this. And
yeah, go ahead, Doug.
And he's like, do you want it? Because we don't need it. And I'm like, sure. Or, well, you were like, sure. Okay, send it off.
And
so.
that's just a testament to... you know, what we do with Ghostly Talk here and the friends that we have and that we're honored to have people in our lives who would do something that cool for us, you know. A board isn't a cheap piece of equipment. It's a very expensive piece of equipment for people out there that do their own shows, that listen to our show or whatever it may be, and to have someone just go, hey, do you know, I got an extra one here. Could you use it? And we can always use extra equipment like that. And for somebody to do that, you know, as you remember, Doug, our first board was given to us also indirectly. Somebody gave us Scott Kern gave us a big chunk of money for helping him out with something out of nowhere. We're like, no way, you know, wow. And that's what we used
that
money.
That's how we got this one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one we're using right now. That's how we got that. So it's a testament to the wonderful people that. And when from the statement we've always made, like, you know, the people keep Ghostly Talk running. That's a good example of that right there. If it wasn't for Kevin and people like Kevin and Scott have been there for us all these years, we would have been dead in the water tonight. We wouldn't have been able to do a show. So that's a big thing, and it's a very nice thing to hear from people, you know, and have that support.
Do you know what I have in the back of my car right now, as a matter of fact, is, and I'm going to have to drag it in here, other than the dead body.
Okay.
I have...
42 2-liters of Diet Pepsi.
42 empty 2-liter bottles.
Well, that's why that thing rides like, you know, that's why that thing rides like a low rider. You know?
Right, because it's got all that stuff. No, I have what will be the new Ghostly Talk server. In the back of the
car. Oh, we have a new machine we're rolling in. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's some other stuff we're working on here. You know, we've been moving machines in and out, trying to make the show better and move quicker, and that's the next step in making this show run better, hopefully, for us, too. So, where's Bobby at, by the way?
Sitting here patiently to my left is the infamous and incredible Bobby Tingle from the Louisville Ghost Hunters.
Bobby, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Uh-oh, we don't hear you. Let me see why.
Turn the mic on.
No, try it now.
Can you hear me now?
There you are.
Bobby, like you mentioned, Doug, Bobby is a dear friend. You know, this is like a Louisville Ghost Hunters weekend because Bobby obviously works for the Louisville Ghost Hunters. We were just down visiting you guys a couple weekends ago, too, when we went out to Waverly Hills with Todd from Nightwatch. And I'm actually, the people I'm with, it's myself and Ambrose, my life partner, or my girlfriend. She's in the other room. I'm glad she didn't hear that. Also here. Thanks, Bonnie. But we're actually down here with Tanya and Allie from the Louisville Ghost Hunters. And they were the ones that invited Amber and myself to come down with them and spend a week here in Florida to kind of just sow our oats and stuff like that and chill out for a couple days.
Well,
so.
I tried to get the Tingle family to spend a week with me here in Michigan, but they're dead set on going home. I don't know why.
Welcome.
What do you think of the live show?
It's awesome.
Awesome? Yeah.
It's a bit chaotic, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you couldn't have got a better crash course, Bobby, on how the Haunted Winery Studio runs than this week, I have to say, with the board issues and things like that. But, you know, it's hard to keep us down, though, too. You know, and I hope you enjoyed that.
Well, it's great. You know, if I wouldn't have kept him out late at dinner, he probably would have got here and fixed it faster, too.
Well, you know, we got it. We pulled it together, though. That's what I'm saying. You know, and the show came off. We had all of our guests on we wanted to have on. And you know, I think it all worked out really well. We did do some walking around down here today. I got to mention this.
You saw Starfish. You got a conch shell.
No, nothing like that.
It was 89 degrees, and everybody was absolutely happy and skipping and jumping and whistling.
Well,
we were driving in traffic.
We did sit on the beach. We were in the water here before the show and so went out swimming in the water and stuff like that. But before that, we went down to the boardwalk. We walked all the way down to the boardwalk here, Amber and myself. And we come across the St. Petersburg Ghost Tours Company down here. And they have a little company down here, and I was considering doing that if we could find some time to check out the St. Petersburg Ghost Tours, because it's a lot of pirate lore and stuff, you know, in this area. There's all types of, you know, with all the water. There's a lot of pirates back in the day, and they have their ghost tour company down here too. So I might check that out. So it's an interesting place, I have to say. But you know, it's ironic, Bobby, like I said, because you're in my neck of the woods and I'm totally not there. Looks kind of.
We totally.
But I hope you enjoyed the studio.
Oh, yeah, it's been a blast.
Excellent. Good. Yes, and he took a lot of blackmail pictures.
The kids like it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got the whole family there, right?
Yeah, they're out there bowling with your candles right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Drawing pictures for Auntie Bonnie.
On the wall?
Yeah.
I actually encouraged it in this room to cover up the paint color.
Right. She gave them an attractive color of crayon. And
You're not using the Yankee candles, are you? Boy, I just mentioned Yankee candles.
Yes, we're using those, and I'm letting them draw with Sharpies.
Yes.
My super expensive Yankee candles.
Those
great.
Are the glass jars?
Yeah, they're bowling with them right now.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Oh, great, awesome. But no, It's cool down here. We're going out there. We're heading out to Disney World tomorrow. That's what's happening tomorrow. And we're going to spend a couple days there to hang out. And looking forward to that. And it's just nice to kind of, be in a different place besides my home, which is the Haunted Winery, and the studio. You know, I would rather nothing else than to be in the studio with you guys right now, if it was possible.
Would have electric collars on all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Doug's gone awry again. But no, last night I got to hang out with Metro Paranormal.
Yep.
Chris and Wayne and Dee and Wendy and the whole gang. It was awesome. And yes, even Kevin was there, who is totally enamored of your story about beating the city of Detroit out of a ticket.
Oh, God,
awesome.
You know what? That comes up all the time with Kevin. Kevin's an attorney.
Yes.
You know, and I love getting together with Kevin for Metro Paranormal. Because we do well. When I get together with Kevin, it just turns into a gripe session about all of the things we gripe about. You guys have heard it at great length, and Kevin always brings that up when I told him that story about how I had this ticket with the Detroit Police Department or whatever, and yeah, I fought him, and I fought the law, and the law won, you know, whatever. I fought the law and I won, right?
So you've become his hero of sorts, which was amazing, and so we did talk about you last night. It was an incredible evening. Incredible.
Yeah. Anything else going on? Because we only got a couple minutes here. We're going to be done with the show.
I know. Well, other than... when the fire people were here, Bonnie, I heard Bonnie actually say...
I was hitting on him.
Humina, humina, you know, several times. I thought that was pretty cool.
Wait, fire people?
It's
what?
Fine. It's,
oh,
it's,
no, it's,
it's
okay.
A
it's
small
on,
fire.
It was under control
you
right away.
You were looking to buy a new bed, right?
Right. You don't even
actually,
know.
I was.
You were, yeah.
See,
good,
so
good.
No
good.
Harm.
Yeah, see, it's all good.
You probably won't even notice.
You won't even notice.
So you guys are really enjoying this now, aren't you?
Absolutely, we are. The CDs have been swapped. That'll be a fun game for you to play when you get home.
Yes.
And
as long as you touch the Motorhead CDs, we're cool. All right.
Can't make any promises. And I'm looking forward to re-alphabetizing everything in your home.
I knew you guys were gonna. I knew this was coming. That I was going to find out, I'm going to come home and find, like, you know, all my plates glued to the ceiling, and my TV out the window in the pool,
pretty
you know,
much.
Things like that.
Yeah, well, that's next week's activities.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's
next I am. I'm not going to be in Florida for next week. We're going to be back. We're going to be coming back. We'll be getting back into Indiana right on the New Albany, Indiana there that Sunday. So I'm going to dial in again next week, and I'm thinking things will probably go a lot smoother. I think we worked the bugs out this week, and I think it'll be a lot smoother. But I think it went really well this week, though, too.
I'm impressed. I'm really impressed that the only thing we had to do was swap out the board.
And put out a fire.
And yes, the...
You didn't really have a fire, did you?
You'll find out.
No.
The fountain fire.
No, there was no fire. You had to find fire. What? If by fire you mean... Well, no, probably not.
Flaming and burning?
No, there was no fire.
Looking at the ceiling of my bedroom?
Yeah, okay.
It could have been.
No. I was just.
Now, I put you in there, Bobby, to keep an eye on things. You remember?
Bobby's encouraging it.
Yes. I put you in there as the mole to watch and tell me all the bad things that happened while I was not there. Because the first thing I told Doug when I gave him the keys, I said, "No parties, no parties." So hopefully that didn't happen, Bobby. You'll have to report to me later on.
We did swap out your TV for my Mickey Mouse TV and your DVD player with my bright red DVD Mickey Mouse player, because I know you love it so much.
Both have ears now.
Yeah, where the play button is one of Mickey's ears or something like that.
Yes.
Great. Well, there goes your souvenir, Bonnie.
Do you really think I would part with any of my Mickey Mouse stuff? Come on.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be going and doing souvenir shopping tomorrow, so what does everybody want?
One of each, I think.
One of each. Okay.
Here's all I can say. Amber knows my likes and dislikes. Let her pick it out.
Okay, great.
Here's what I can say. Amber has good taste. So let her pick it
except
out.
Except in boyfriends.
So get up, Bob. Scott, you're taking hits from thousands of miles away.
He told you to choke me.
I can't get away from it, man.
To choke me.
Oh, I'm not choking you. You're taking hits from thousands of miles away. I'm impressed.
I'm taking it with great.
You are taking it with dignity and style and class.
One thing we only got a couple minutes here. One thing I do want to mention is we did this show. You mentioned Alan earlier in the show tonight. And we had that conversation. We received a lot of feedback.
A lot of emails. Yes.
Yeah, and people, the thing is, I myself, and I know you too, Doug, I always second-guess myself on talking about subjects like this. And, we've really been kind of digging deep here the last few months again. And I want to remind people that there is a method to the madness when it comes to this stuff. I still want to talk about the paranormal. We're always talking about, we just talked to Lisa Lindley about a very real haunting that she's experiencing. But I don't want people thinking that we're moving to this whole direction where it's going to be nothing but griping every week about, this thing and that thing that shouldn't be happening within the study of the paranormal. I think it's something that needs to be said, and I know it's how you feel too, Doug. What's interesting is, we had Larry on earlier, and he pretty much came out with it. We didn't really ask him about that. He just came out with it and said, look, these are the issues we're having here, and these things need to stop, right? And I found that very interesting, that there are a lot of ghost hunting groups out there that feel the same way. And it isn't a thing of, we need to kick these people out of the thing. I think it's just, again, like Larry said, it's education and it's sharing of information. Those are the keys to this stuff, I think. And I think if people start getting a better understanding and grasp of that, things will be a lot different in the community, and that's just, I want people to think about that kind of stuff. And, people like Alan out there who have put a lot of time and work into a medium for people to get together and discuss this stuff, I guess I can understand why you put all that work into something and then watch nothing but griping go on, and stuff like that on a website of his sort. But I'm glad we were able to give him the platform to talk about that on, too. He asked us to do it, and we were happy to help him out. And I appreciate, and I know, Doug, you appreciate all the feedback we got on that throughout the week,
too. Oh, yeah, I read through all of it. I was all the ones that I was copied on, and because I don't think people copy me on a lot of things because they know I'm not going to answer. But I read through all of it, and I thought, wow, this is really something. So there is something to it.
Yes, sir.
The infighting, the drama, it's just so, it's not junior high anymore, everyone.
Childish. Right? Let's say it. It's childish.
It really is.
Yes, it is. And there's always room, the one thing I've always thought, and I take with me, is, you know, you take the work seriously. Don't take yourself that seriously. And that may be what's going on here, too, is a lot of people come into this thing, and they do have the greatest of intentions, and they want to be very, very... And when I say hard-nosed, I don't mean, like, you know, real mean or anything like that. I mean, they really want to keep things concise, keep things clean. And it, unfortunately, you know, and this is from experience, too, things just can't work that way when you have a team. You know, you have to go out there and work together on things. You know, that wouldn't the show would have never happened tonight if we didn't work together to make this thing happen. Namely yourself, Doug. You were the one that pulled this
good
thing
job,
together.
Dougie, good Thank job, Dougie. Good job.
You get MVP, Bonnie. Woo! I'll get whatever.
Yeah, didn't we announce that stuff when
yes,
we were off
we
the air? And Doug got. What'd you get, Doug? What award did you get? Oh, you got the brass.
The brass something's award.
Yeah.
And then Bonnie got MVP, and then Bobby got rookie of the year.
Yeah.
So, he's new. Shows. So.
Now, speaking of working together, we absolutely have to clear the air so that
yes, we do.
So that we can get Ghostman and Demon Hunter on some of our streams and then the other shows on the other streams.
I need to mention, Doug, I'm sorry to really, really fast. I can't believe I forgot. It's been chaotic all night. I mentioned this to you on the phone, Doug, and I want to mention this because Vance is probably listening. I had the chance finally last night. The first thing we did when we got into town here is I called Vance West. Who you know, all of our listeners know very well. He's the man who helps us out with the ORVP, the Open Remote Viewing Projects. I finally had a chance to meet Vance personally. We sat here last night, had dinner, sat and had a couple of drinks, and talked about a lot of cool stuff. And Vance, it was a real honor to meet Vance for the first time and hang out with him. And I wanted to make sure I mentioned that tonight. That it was really great to hang out with you, Vance, and he's a dear, dear friend of ours. And I was totally honored to hang out with him. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stretch it out even longer, Doug, but I wanted to get that out.
Not a problem. Hi, Vance of TrinityScience.com. I want to thank Lisa Lindley for sharing her story with us and Lisa Hoskins for what she is about to do at the end of this month on the 28th, the Michigan Paranormal Expo in Holly,
yes.
Michigan. Howell, Michigan at the Opera House. And then, of course, Larry Flaxman of the Arkansas Paranormal and Anomalous Studies team, ourpast.org, for sharing with us the importance of training and a lot of other things.
Yes.
And
absolutely fantastic.
Just one thing to say. Go Wings.
Go Wings. One more game.
Yes.
They did.
Yes. One more game. And we bring the cup.
Hey, Amber, the Wings won.
As the news is traveling into Florida, I want to thank everybody for listening. I mean every one of you, whether you're listening on the computer live, on the telephone line, or if you're listening in an archive format, either via the iTunes or what have you, or replayed on radio stations, thank you for listening. Our email is ghostlytalk@ghostlytalk.com, and our website is www.ghostlytalk.com. For June 1st, 2008, this has been Ghostly Talk, and I have been Doug.
I have been Scott L.
And I'm still Bonnie.
And thank you, Bobby T, for sitting in and keeping everything as normal as humanly possible.
You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.